Welcome to Got Invention Radio with your host, Brian Free.
Welcome back to Got Invention Radio, presented by Inventor's Digest. There's a bunch of emails coming in here. I didn't realize that I was turned away from the computer, and all of a sudden I looked and there's a bunch of emails. So we'll try to get to as many as we can. John, I'm here. Okay, good. We have John Calvert, the administrator of the Inventor Assistance Program of the United States Patent and Trademark Office, otherwise known as the USPTO. So I'm just getting a little distracted here by these emails. Let's start off with this one, John.
Okay.
I was told, this is Jim from Topeka, I was told I needed a design patent, but people in my group said it was a waste. What is the real answer? Can they easily be knocked off? So I guess this fits perfectly because we spoke about provisional, non-provisional, utility, right? It's the same thing. So
right.
What's the story with the design patent, John?
Design patents give you protection for the ornamental design of your product. Just to let you know, the iPod has a design patent.
Okay.
There are a number of things. Most of the car companies have design patents on their fenders, on their bumpers, their, you know, the A-pillar and the windshield look. So they're very important to car companies. They're very important to golf ball manufacturers and tire companies. So, yeah, it could be knocked off, but, you know, you're going to have to make enough change so it's not an obvious variation.
So does it usually complement the utility patent or the provisional? Because, fine, so the design of the iPod, but we see many lookalikes out there, not necessarily the same exact look of the iPod, but they function similar.
Right, and, you know, there are design and utility, and a lot of people do the same for both. You know, they'll file a utility patent on a product and on an invention and file a design patent on that same invention. Others will just file a design or just file a utility. It's a choice of the inventor. It depends on where they go. But I've known a lot of design patents to be very, very prolific or, you know, good and cover the product very well and actually be profitable.
Okay. We're going to answer a couple more questions here. And what we'll do also, John, we'll see how much time we have, but we're going to talk about the actual process dealing with the patent examiner and what to expect as we put in our patent. But let's keep answering some more of these questions.
I have absolutely
Robert from St. Louis. Simple question. How long does a patent last?
It's a good question. It is actually in 1995, the law was changed to make a utility patent 20 years, the length of term, 20 years from the date of filing. Now, there are some provisions in there that if the USPTO takes too long to do certain things, time will be added back on or added onto the term. So there are term extensions for that. As far as a design patent, it's 14 years from the date of issue. 14 years from the date of issue for a design,
okay.
20 years from the date of filing for a utility and a plant patent, and none of these can be extended or renewed. It's a one-time term.
Okay, and also the provisional was 1 year.
1 year, and it's really not a patent. It's just an application. It's a one-year time frame within which to file a non-provisional and refer back to that original date.
So it's a save-the-date.
Yeah, it's just a save-the-date type thing.
Okay. Now, along the way, just to expand on Robert's question, during the patent process, or I should say the patent protection of the 20 years, there's every couple of years there's something that gets sent out and that kind of keeps you in check to make sure that there's something actually being done?
Well, no, we don't send any checks out, but there are periods of periods of time we ask you to send us a check.
I'm sure.
Those are called maintenance fees, and they're due at 3.5, at 7.5, and 11.5 years. And guess what? We don't remind you.
Okay.
So it's up to you to remember and send that check in to the USPTO. If you don't, there are some consequences. Your patent can expire. It can be public domain. You can revive it, but it costs an arm and a leg.
Okay. This is, I guess, another question that I can just fits right in. After the term expires, what happens to your patent?
It becomes public domain. Anybody can make and use it.
Okay. There goes that question. All right, and we have another one from Mr. Bird. In my self-drafted provisional, I draft the one claim required for foreign filing. Can the utility be damaged by one faulty claim in the provisional, even if the description is thorough and complete?
No, it's not really going to be damaged. What you can do is you can actually change your claims in the non-provisional. There's no claim required in the provisional application in the U.S., so it really doesn't matter what you put in there. You know, it could limit you in some instances, but probably is not going to.
Okay. Somebody's asking if you have a non-disclosure agreement on the USPTO website.
We do not.
Okay.
And I suggest that the non-disclosure agreement that you draw up, it should be done by an attorney, and it should be very specific to your invention.
Okay. That's good to know. Keep these emails coming in. You can also call. We haven't had a caller yet, have we? A lot of emails. 877-474-3302. Call up and ask John any kind of questions. Now's your chance. He's not. You're not an attorney, but you work inside where all the attorneys want to know.
Yeah, so, I'm inside, but I'm not an attorney.
Okay, but get all the information you can out of John tonight while we have him on our show. 877-474-3302 or email me, brian@gotinvention.com. All right, some of these questions I'm gonna hold off till a little bit later.
Okay.
I want to just go into a little bit more of what the expectations are when I do put in non-provisional. Now, you feel the same way to a point that I'm sure it comes across a lot easier when it's an attorney that understands and knows how to put this together, or a patent agent knows how to put this together. Does it get streamlined quicker when an attorney does it rather than if I did it myself as an inventor?
No, not at all. It goes in every application that comes in goes into a queue, and when it comes up to the top of the examiner's docket of cases or applications to do, it's picked off and examined by the examiner. At least that's the way it used to work. I think there's a new change in the way examiners are actually going to be able to work on their dockets with a new a performance plan that was just negotiated with our union. But basically what happens is it's first in, first out. So whoever gets their application in first gets it examined first. And the thing about an attorney, we look at those applications and we look at an individual inventor's application, you know, a pro se application, the same way. We expect them to understand the law just the same way.
Very interesting. I know that there's a lot of inventors that, well, here's one, for example. So I'm just reading this, and basically this inventor started selling a golf training aid 2 years ago on a website, and he sells them. He doesn't make a lot of money, but he's selling them. And he wants to now file for a patent.
Unfortunately, he cannot file for a patent at this time.
I guess that's why he didn't give his name.
Right. What happens is there is a part of the law that says you have a one-year limit, a one-year time limit, from the first time you make a public disclosure of your invention.
Does public mean like your wife, your daughter?
Could mean, yes, it could mean your wife or daughter.
Okay.
And that invention is known out in the in the public. You use it in the public, or you show it in the public, or you offer it for sale or sell it.
Okay.
And you have that 1 year time frame within which to file a patent application in the U.S. Now, unfortunately, you have lost your rights to file anywhere else.
Okay.
In most other countries, it's a strict sense of novelty, so you must file before you disclose.
Gotcha. Let's see if we could take this quick call. We have about 2.5 minutes left.
Okay.
We have Al from Huntington, New York, or Huntington, California. Al, are you with us? All right.
One of your regular attendees.
Hello, Al. How you doing?
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Hey, that's a very interesting program you have, and plug for your whole, we'll say, organization as far as the Inventors Club goes. That's a great and going organization.
Thank you, Al. Al is one of the members that comes to the Inventors and Entrepreneurs Club of Suffolk County and also Farmingdale. Thank you, Al. Do you have a question for John?
Yes, I do, Don. I have received a couple of bits of correspondence from an outfit which starts out, "We notice your patent application and want to discuss your invention with you at your earliest opportunity." Now, from that, first of all, I don't trust this at all. I'm not planning to reply. However, the question I have is arise from that is, how public is the content of any patent application? I do have a patent application in. It's been in since, the end of July of last year. It's still waiting for an examiner. And the other, to what extent is any technical information available to, for anyone to peruse while I'm waiting the several years for the application possibly to be go through?
Al, didn't I tell you we had about a minute or so left? Now, Al is a regular at the meetings, and I know that he's very interested in getting help from you, John. So
okay.
Let me see as much as you can answer, and then we'll go into segment four with the question if we need to.
Okay. Al, the question is this. What do we do here when do we make it public? We make an application public at the end of 18 months from the earliest filing date. So if you filed a provisional, waited a year, and then filed a non-provisional, it would actually publish it 6 months from the date of the filing of the non-provisional application. And it is available to anyone in the public to look at. All the information is there.
Okay, I guess you've answered my question then.
Oh, that's great. And you did it in the perfect time because we're just finishing up segment three. We'll be back with John Calvert, the administrator of the Inventor Assistance Program of the United States Patent and Trademark Office, in a moment. You're listening to Brian Fried. I'm your host on Got Invention Radio on WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in Internet talk. See you in segment four in a moment.
Do you have an idea or an invention and not sure what to do next? Take the first step and get your copy of the book, You and Your Big Ideas, by Brian Fried. From protecting your idea to developing it and bringing your product to market, this handy resource guide is a must-have for every inventor, innovator, and entrepreneur. This book is all about you and your big ideas and bringing them to life. Only $10.95. Order now and also receive your free product evaluation kit with the book. Call now.
Buzz Aldrin, the second man to walk on the moon, flies again with WS Radio. Hi, this is Jack Warren, Senior VP for the WS Radio Networks, and on September 3rd, 2009, WS Radio made history by broadcasting from the only Zeppelin in the United States, high above the Southern California skies, and we launched a local station, WSRadioDC.com, the global voice of the nation's capital. We were privileged to have Buzz Aldrin join us for this historic broadcast using new wireless technology for Internet radio. We want to thank Mr. Aldrin for his service to our country and invite you to log on to BuzzAldrin.com to purchase his New York Times best-selling book, Magnificent Desolation. His autobiography, which covers his incredible Apollo 11 journey to dealing with depression and alcoholism, and his triumph over it. So go to BuzzAldrin.com. That's BuzzAldrin.com.
If you or someone you know is unemployed, WS Radio wants to help. Hi, I'm Cece Gonzalez, host of Headhunter Radio. Our show is dedicated to all things human resources, getting a job, keeping a job, career development, and best practices. And now WS Radio is also doing their part to assist you in your job search. Log on to www.jobhuntingtoolkit.com, where they've provided some great links and free tools. That's www.jobhuntingtoolkit.com.
Hi, Jack Warren here, host of the Shutterbug Magazine radio show on the WS Radio Network. You know, I hear people say they feel chained to their office desk. They spend hours stuck in traffic just to get to their office computers. They stay late, they go in on the weekends just to keep up. You know, technology is supposed to make your life easier, not more complicated. Now, I have a proven solution where you work from anywhere, in any computer, with GoToMyPC. Whether it's a Mac or a PC, you can access your computer, use any program, work on any file, check your email, access network resources with GoToMyPC. GoToMyPC lets you take your office with you wherever you go. WS Radio listeners can try GoToMyPC for free for the next 30 days. For this special offer, you must visit GoToMyPC.com/talk. That's gotomypc.com/talk for a free trial.